Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live. The Edge of Reality here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all, which means, almost happy weekend. And it's the summer, so let's just call it right now. Happy weekend, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here. I've got a ton of things to discuss with you. I really do. This has been a big week for me. So we got to get to it. We got to talk. Of course, we have Big Brother, but we got to talk about the big shows this week. We got to talk some challenge because we haven't talked about challenge this year. We got to talk about it tonight because it was a very heavy Big Brother episode. We got to talk Fear Factor. Yeah, you heard me correctly. Survivor versus Big Brother Fear Factor. We have to discuss that. We watched a new show this week called Making It. We got to discuss that so much. But before we get into that, I have to say hello to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Hello. I'm waving, but you can't see me. How's it going?
You're waving. I need you to understand how podcasting works. We've only been doing it for like 7 years.
Well, I was waving to the crowd, for God's sake.
They can't see you. They cannot see you.
Oh, nobody told me that ever.
Well, you can be a part of our conversation tonight, now, tomorrow, anytime you want. Literally 24/7. You can do that on our Facebook page. We're at Edge of Reality. You can also come to our Twitter pages. I'm at Reality Allie. That's Reality A-L-L-I-E. Priscilla is at P-S-I-L-L-A. And, of course, you can catch this show and all our shows on archives on blogtalkradio.com and on iTunes. And, a show that you might want to catch, one of our previous guests, Chelsea Hightower, we interviewed her a couple years ago from So You Think You Can Dance and Dancing with the Stars fame. That's one of our archived shows. And guess what, Priscilla? She was on So You Think You Can Dance this week. Chelsea, we haven't seen her in a couple of years. She was an all-star on So You Think You Can Dance this week, helping the top 10 guys go down to the top 5 guys. So it was really fun to get to see her again. You know, So You Think You Can Dance, I'm still watching. I haven't watched. No, I think I'm caught up. The fact that it's an hour a week is very helpful, but we're missing a lot of its nuance. We still get Kat Dealey, so that's a good thing. And at the end of the day, I would rather an hour of So You Think You Can Dance than no So You Think You Can Dance at all, even though it feels like a pretty condensed season. But the All-Stars were introduced in these past two episodes. And if you're an old school So You Think You Dance fan, if you haven't watched in the last couple of years, but you remember it from back in the day, the All-Stars in the past two episodes were like you had to go back. And you just see some familiar faces. So it was really fun. You know, we got to see Chelsea and we got to see Lauren. We got to see Janine and Paul and all of these people that are not like the traditional people that we see every season. So it's been fun. I highly recommend it, especially if you're an old school fan, to check it out. So we interviewed Chelsea Hightower and you can catch that episode on our archives. But just a quick So You Think You Can Dance update, because frankly, we need that in our life. there's so much to discuss. I'm going to put Big Brother on the back burner for a minute to talk about the challenge, because we haven't discussed the challenge at all this summer, the final redemption. You know, we have a redemption house. We have 90,000 people in this house. Before this week, technically no one went home. And it was a lot of just random drama without game progression. And then this week happened. And I thought to myself, damn, that's what they were waiting for. This is why the show is structured like this. So previous episode saw that everybody hates Polly and Natalie from Big Brother fame. Polly did not make himself. Yeah, he did not make himself seem very welcome. The only person that enjoyed him a lot was Cara Maria. And this is back in the day when he was still dating Danielle M. from Bachelor. She was on next season of Bachelor. She was also on Bachelor in Paradise. If you remember, she's the one that her and Wells kissed. She left early to go to Africa for her. She's a nurse, and she was doing volunteer work. And her and Wells made out. That was her. She was dating Polly at the time. BT Dub, in a weird crossover, this week of Fear Factor, one episode was Big Brother vs. Survivor. The other episode was Bachelor versus Bachelorette. And Danielle M. was also on that episode of Fear Factor. So there you go. But anyway, so they both hit MTV this week. But anyway, Everybody Hates Polly is the name of the game. They lost an elimination. They got sent to Redemption House, where they met with Day and Jose, who they loved. They were like clinging on to each other for Big Brother life. And, you know, Day and Jose, they were eliminated like 30 minutes into the game. That's where they were at. And I thought to myself, oh, God, Day and Jose are both not known for their comp prowess, and they're certainly not known for their strategic prowess. So they're just here for drama. But then Davon gave some confessionals, and I remembered. I was like, all right, Day. All right, I'm not mad that you're here, because, oh, man, her confessionals are so good. She knows what to say. She knows how to say it. That is her place in reality TV world. The confessionals. That's where she knows how to do it. To make a long story short, they bring the Redemption House people in. Polly and Natalie are allowed to play, to go back into the house. They choose Day and Jose to be competitors, to compete against them. And this was a very smart move, because this is how it was set up. One team got to choose who they got to compete in. If you didn't get chosen to compete, you automatically went home. So Jemmy and Jenna and Brittany and Chuck automatically went home. This was a major bummer to me, because you know I love Jenna. And you know that this was her first challenge back since she broke her ankle, Priscilla. And we saw nothing of Jenna. And this bums me out. I hate that a competition beast like Jenna was paired up with a Jemmy. I've got nothing against Jemmy, but there was no way in hell Jenna was ever going to do well this season with Jemmy. The teams, well, I want to back up here for a second. Do you think the teams are super uneven, correct? I mean, come the hell on.
Yes.
Cara Maria is with Marie, for God's sake.
There are some teams that are heavily stacked in the other direction, like a Tony and Benet.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point. You know, you have Cara Maria and Marie, which got, you know, Jesus Lord. And then you have Tony and Bananas, which is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. you know, and you know, at least CT has Veronica. You know, Veronica's going to weigh him down a little bit. You know, they couldn't put together, like, you know, they should have like a you know, beasts champs versus vets, or champs versus rookies, where they team a champ and a rookie together. Something. But the teams are extremely uneven, which makes it for a weird season. And then there's teams that where both players are weak, and that's just weird. One other note, they were talking in the episode. This is how many people are on this damn show. They were telling the story of, they were reminding everyone about Bananas and Kaylee, and last year, last season, Bananas was accused of hooking up with Kaylee, and Bananas was with Natalie, and Kaylee was with Nelson, and they're talking all about Nelson, and I thought to myself, man, they're spending a lot of time on a guy that isn't even on this season. Nelson's on this season.
And then
at the end
realized.
Of the episode, I saw him.
I
was like, oh, shit,
right after that clip.
I was like, oh my God, there's Nelson. He's there. I totally forgot that he was partnered up with Shane. That totally forgot. But so those two teams automatically got home. Now, the person who wins gets to go back into the main house. And the team that loses goes back into the redemption house. So it was a win-win. At least you got to stay in the game. So I'm thinking this is a smart choice for Natalie and Pauly, because one, it's a Big Brother team. Two, it's Day and Jose, so they are going to beat them. It's going to be a very easy comp win for them. And Pauly and Natalie lose badly to Day and Jose. I've never seen Day win a competition before. It was amazing. So Day and Jose go back into the main house. Natalie and Pauly go back into the redemption house. But Pauly decides that he's going to use psychological warfare, which is an interesting concept coming from our friend Pauly. I have to say, you know, he fights dirty, but it's not a bad, I mean, it's a strategy. I mean, it's not a terrible strategy, you know. Get people, I mean, it's a horrible strategy in the sense that people hate you and will constantly vote you in, and you're going to, like, you'll have to win your way through the comp, you know, even if you get back in. So it's a terrible strategy from that standpoint. But if you want to screw with people's heads, it's a wonderful thing. So Pauly decided he was going to tell Brad that Brittany, while in the redemption house, was cheating on him. Brad believes it, which is, you know, says a lot about him and Brittany's relationship. But Pauly did some damage. He really did. And I'm not mad at it, except for the fact that it was, you know, he's never going to form an alliance. It's never going to work. But I wasn't mad at it, Priscilla. What are your thoughts?
He sounds very cockiness, arrogance. But the bad thing is you don't start out right away making enemies, because you're never going to get anybody that has your back. And then fortunately for the future of his challenge career, which may be zero now, but you know they're going to bring him back because of that.
He
has zero people that are going to have his back.
Very true.
It made good TV. It makes good TV.
Absolutely, Pauly comes back. He is going
Absolutely.
To be a veteran. He will come back. Him and Natalie, I think, they are in the challenge family for keeps. Day and Jose, the vote is
still out. Natalie. I said this when she was on Big Brother. She's the fakest person I know. And
yeah.
I don't even know her.
Yeah, I mean, she's thirsty for fame, but that's what they are. I mean, that's, you know, you don't go on the show like this if you're not thirsty for fame. You know, that's just the way it is. She, you know,
right. It
happens to her more than, you know. And I will say I did feel bad for her, you know, her coming out story, having to come out as pansexual, and, you know, the way that it was revealed, you know, no one should be outed by anyone else. And you know, I did not like that. I did not wish that upon her. You know, nobody wants that. But, yeah, you know, she is someone that wants it. I mean, just look at her history on these shows. But she's on. She's on. You know, she's a vet now. She will be on for the next several seasons, as will Polly. I have a good feeling Cody, my brother Cody, will somehow find his way onto the show as well. You know, I think that the Big Brother will stay. You know, because here's the thing: there's no new Real Worlds. It's not like they're not adding. Real World is not officially canceled, at least to my knowledge. But you know, it's not airing anytime soon. They haven't been casting for it. They need people. So how they're getting their people, well, Are You the One? They're getting their people from the international MTV shows like Jordy Shore. And they had Big Brother. I also heard a rumor that next season we might see some Survivor players for the first time as well. So expand that universe.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
You know, I'm not mad at it. It's someone who loved a little show. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to be the only one in the world who remembers this show. I'm hoping you do too, Priscilla, but I'm not even counting on it. Back in the day, I mean early 2000s, that far back in the day, okay? There was Battle of the Reality TV Stars. It was on Bravo. There were many Big Brother players, many America's Next Top Model players, many survivors, many people from lots of different reality shows, and I loved it. It was like Battle of the Network Stars back in the day, only with reality TV stars. It was beautiful. It was drama. There was teams. It was everything. And I see Challenge becoming that, where it's like a whole hodgepodge of other people from different reality shows. And I'm here for it. I'm not being a traditionalist about this. I'm here for it now. I think that's great. I think it's been way more fun for me to watch this season with some Big Brother people, with some other people from different shows that I like, that are in the cast. And I hope that continues. Especially since
I don't have any problem with it. The challenge is very limited, the way that they had it structured before, very limited to the type of personality that you could get by opening it up to these other personalities who are good in challenges, who does challenges in their other reality show. I don't see a problem with it. And the thing is Bananas, I'm sorry, he's not going to be there for the rest of his life, even though he would like to be. It's not going to happen. They can't bank their show on just a Bananas or, back in the day, Mark Long. You know, they can't bank it on one or two people to carry that show. They need to get some new talent in there.
Well, and here's the thing. Speaking of Johnny Bananas, and I don't
think
he's talking
older.
About this yet. Well, he's getting older, but not only that, he got a hosting gig. So he is hosting a show starting in the fall. I believe it's called First Look. It happens Saturday nights after Saturday Night Live. I mean, it's a late, late show, and it's like a travel show.
Who is this?
And
Bananas?
Bananas. Yeah. So he has a hosting gig. So I think he's transitioning. Like, I always kind of saw Bananas transitioning to a host of the challenge. Like, at a certain point, TJ would leave and Bananas would take over. Kind of like what Miz does on the champs versus, you know, Joes versus pros. You know, I can see Bananas in that role, and I see that as like a natural progression. So yeah, I mean, it's depending upon what his filming schedule is like for this other show. You know, I can totally see next season him not being able to participate. You know, now who knows? Maybe they'll work around all of his schedule so that he can do everything. But I don't know. I mean, we have said for the last couple seasons he won't be around forever. He's alluded to it himself a little bit, but I don't think. I mean. I don't think this is his last season by any stretch of the imagination. I still think he has a few more in him, especially at the rate that they're filming these seasons. I mean, we're getting at least two a year, if not more. So, and then in between, we're getting the Joes versus Pros seasons. So, you know, they're really looking for the challenge to become year-long programming. And, you know, Johnny's been on almost all of them. So I don't see that stopping, at least for the next few seasons anyway. But they have, yeah, they need fresh blood. And if they don't have new Real Worlders coming in, and I think they've decided, they did Fresh Meat seasons, and that proven to be very effective for them, because that's how they got Cara Maria, that's how they got Camilla, that's how they got Camilla, Cara Maria, Diem was a Fresh Meat on Fresh Meat, original Fresh Meat season, Laurel, you know, they got a lot of people from, you know, just not, you know, not a straight pass to the challenge. But I don't think they want to do that. I think that they like the idea of some like name recognition, some quasi celebrity, some way that people will kind of come in and watch the show and get some ratings. So, but I'm here for it. I'm all about it. We'll see where it goes with Polly and Natalie. I have a feeling that they'll eventually get back into the house. We'll see what happens. The one thing I will have to say is this season is moving super slow. We are week four, and we've seen only two teams go, and it was two teams that didn't get picked for something. You know, that's they need to. we need a week where we see a challenge and we see somebody leave. But that's not what they're rolling towards. I think they much rather keep as many people in the game or in the conversation as long as possible and have a redemption house feel almost like a jury house that they can keep going back to, so people are on the show as much as possible. I think that's the direction that they're going in for this anyway. So speaking of MTV shows, we got to talk Fear Factor. Big Brother versus Survivor Fear Factor. I have to say, I knew from the promos that Cody and Zach from Big Brother 16 were going to be on it. But I didn't know anyone else because I just wasn't paying attention. Sierra Dawn Thomas and Abby Maria, it just cracked me up that they were the Survivor representatives. I don't know. There was something about that. That's who they got. That's who they could get. I wonder what went down for Sierra Dawn Thomas and Abby Maria to be the Survivor representatives. I just thought it was really funny. I don't know. It's just an odd choice.
And the only all-girl team.
They were the only all-girl team, but also, like, it was just an odd choice of Survivor choice. Of all the Survivor contestants that they could have chose, it was just like an odd. And then it made me think, man, Abby Maria is like built for like an X on the Beach or a challenge she's in. She really is. Like, that drama, she is built for that. So I could 100% see Abby Maria on a challenge season or on an X on the Beach season. I could 100% see it. Anyway, Caleb is technically representing for Survivor. He's been on Survivor twice, and so it makes sense that he's technically representing for them. However, he spent more days in the Big Brother house than both of his Survivor seasons combined. Add like 60 plus 60 days. I mean, Caleb made it to the final four on his Big Brother season. So I just thought it was funny that Survivor was the show that he was repping. And another funny thing, he was with his brother. They couldn't get another Survivor from him.
I know. It sounds like they were scraping the bottom of the barrel or didn't even try to get Survivor people.
I mean, what the hell? Technically, he's a Big Brother person. Fine, he was on Survivor twice. But they couldn't pair him with another Survivor? I thought that was super odd. By the way, they also did that for... I'm noticing this for all of the celebrity... I've been watching a lot of the Fear Factor celebrity season. Celebrity in the most major quotes you've ever seen, by the way. But it's a lot of them. For the Bachelor, Bachelorette one, they had Corinne on there, and Corinne was with her assistant. They couldn't find another freaking Bachelorette contestant to be with her. I think Alexis was with her, who I love. I always love Alexis. She was the shark on next season. She was one of my favorite contestants of all time, so I was stoked that she was on it. She was with her sister. You can't find, where's Virgin Ashley? Where's Ashley with an I? Where the hell? I can name 90 people who could be on the show. I just thought it was very odd that, but the assistant and the sister, those are the ones who are on it. Caleb's brother is on it randomly. Like, it was just a weird thing. But anyway.
You're right. Ashley and her sister were both on Bachelor in Paradise.
Put them on. I mean, they just had Rachel and her fiance, which I can't remember, Brian. I didn't remember he existed. That's how much that season meant to me. I liked Rachel, but I completely forgot that.
Even, you know, Jared and Ashley, because they're both, you know, from the alum, and they wouldn't do it in a heartbeat because they're reality people whores. And
even if at the time they
filmed it, they weren't together, they were still always friends.
Oh, God, it could have been anyone. Where are the friggin' twins? You could get the twins on there, you know. Of them, it was just a weird thing that, like, there were teams where it was like half a Survivor person and then half a just a rando. So it was, I found that very, very strange. But then Caleb was representing Survivor. So you have like two and a half Survivor players, and then of course Cody and Zach. And Branchel was there. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, Branchel was also on The Amazing Race. So if it was an Amazing Race season, they could have done a Big Brother versus Survivor versus Amazing Race, and all shows would have been covered. That's all I'm saying. And Branchel, well, they were on Big Brother twice too. Never mind. I was like, Branchel was on Amazing Race twice. And Rachel, soon to be three times. But she won Big Brother. Yep, she's Team Big Brother. Sorry, I'm just going through this in my mind because this
and
is
so crazy. And they classify themselves the reality star. Come on. Well, they didn't say whores, but they said king or queen or whatever.
They said royalty, and they are.
Royalty, there you go.
They are.
I wouldn't go that crazy.
I completely agree with that statement. Rachel, 100%. Rachel changed that reality archetype. And the fact that she won just solidified it. You know, she really created an archetype on that show, on Big Brother. They met, they fell in love, They got married on TV. They had the first Big Brother baby. They have been on Big Brother twice. They have been on The Amazing Race three times. They've been on an assortment of other reality shows. They are reality royalty. I absolutely agree with that statement. I do. I do. And
she should have been on
Bridezilla. That's right. She was on Bridezilla. Yes. I completely forgot about that. You're absolutely right. Absolutely reality royalty. And spoiler alert.
On Bridezilla. No. I said she should have been on Bridezilla. She was on that wedding show with what's his face?
Yeah, with the, with Tatora, David Tatora. Yeah. I confused those two shows. I knew she was on the wedding show. That's the thing. She's been
it
on
just
so many shows.
Like it was Bridezilla.
Well, she's been on so many shows, you can't keep track of it. They are absolutely reality royalty. And spoiler alert, they just won Fear Factor. So put that notch in their belt. Just saying, put that notch in their belt. They won Fear Factor. The competitions, I was okay with. I wasn't mad at them. You know, they've been lame. And of course, they've been way lamer than the original Fear Factor. But in terms of MTV Fear Factor and their budget, I wasn't mad at it. The Bachelor Bachelorette one, they had a crazy one where they were doing hot wax and this, and it was such a, the challenge itself was so stupid, but the fear of the hot wax, that would have freaked me the hell out. I was not into that.
I didn't watch that one. I did watch the one with Survivor and Big Brother. I didn't watch, I think I have it recorded, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah, it was, I liked that one too. I mean, it was funny. It was kind of crazy. Danielle, spoiler alert, Vanessa and Danielle M took that one. So it was very funny to see that Cody, Paulie's brother, and Danielle M were on back-to-back episodes of Fear Factor. But yeah, I was good with it. So we had that. It was a lot of Big Brother shows. I also heard that now we're kind of getting to the point where like, Big Brother 19 and Big Brother 20 in their clauses say that they can go on the challenge. Like it's part of their contract that they are automatically allowed to join that show. It makes sense because MTV and CBS are owned by the same parent company. So it makes sense to be able to go and be on both shows. So I'm here for it. I'm all about this mixture of people. I'm very happy about it. And it doesn't make me feel so old because I recognize the Big Brother people. Whereas like the challenge, the Are You the One people, I don't have quite the handle on it. So there you go. Those are my two cents. We also saw a new show this week called Making It. And I'm bummed out and I apologize in advance because I didn't tell you last week that it was premiering this week. And, you know, I like to tell you when new shows are premiering. I like to tell you that. But I forgot. And this is kind of a fun show. This is Amy. It's hosted by Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman, a.k.a. Leslie Knope and Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. I'm a huge Parks and Rec fan, so I'm in just for that reason alone. I'm a huge Parks and Rec fan. And in real life, Ron Swanson, I'm going to do it all the time. In real life, Nick Offerman has a wood shop, is a master woodworker, is very crafty, and is a true craftsman. And they developed this show where it's kind of like a mix of, you know, a Project Runway and a great British Bake Off, where, you know, you have a couple rounds, you have a couple projects, and they give you a theme and you craft. And yes, that sounds dumb, but it was sweet. It was sweet and super interesting the way that people made things. I am I have a confession. And that confession is, I couldn't craft my way out of a paper bag. I am terrible. I'm a terrible artist. And I'm a terrible, like, I could not take a piece of felt and visualize a unicorn, which is what some people were doing. That would never happen in my world. So I'm always impressed when other people have that skill. So I thought it was fun. I mean, it's not, you know, riveting. It's not going to be filled with drama. It's not, you know, it's just a sweet little show with a bunch of people who really love, like, to work with their hands and are true artists, competing in different mediums of art. And I was in on it. I highly recommend it. Priscilla, what are your thoughts?
Well, I fell asleep through part of it. Giving that aside, when I did wake back up to watch it, I thought that Amy was the wrong person to be there. To try to add comedy to the show like that, it's okay, but it didn't add anything to it. He was all right because he does do that, but he was kind of one-sided with the woodworkers, which, you know, I do woodworking, I do crafty stuff. And like you said, it would be right up my alley. It was cool to see the things created, but like I said, I fell asleep. I was bored.
Yeah,
don't
I
ask
mean,
me why,
because
that would be right up my alley.
I agree that, you know, it was a weird juxtaposition that in middle of this, like, kind of sweet, quaint show, there were, like, little comedy bits. And, I mean, it's what you expect
right.
from Amy and Nick Offerman. And I found them funny. I didn't find them, like, hysterical. But, you know, I also,
right.
like, I stan Amy Poehler a lot. I'm actually reading your book right now. Like, I love Parks and Rec so much. So this is something. I don't think this show gets made if they're not hosting it. They're the executive producers as well, but I don't think it gets made unless they're a part of it. I think it's such a sweet, low-key show that I don't think it gets made.
It's obvious that they're – well, I didn't even know who the hell Nick is, so I don't watch Parks and Rec. I mean, I know who Amy is, but
terrible.
Like I said,
I said you're a horrible
what?
Human being. You need to watch Parks and Rec immediately.
No. Maybe some year. Not this. I got too many other things on the horizon. But they were out of for the content of the show, in my opinion.
Agreed.
How are these quote-unquote judges that you call them? No,
I completely agree. That's a really good point. Looking at the show objectively, I absolutely agree with you about just the two of them hosting. I think they played off well when they were talking to the other contestants. They did have the Great British Bake Off vibe, you know. And I know you don't watch that show, but I do. So I know exactly what I'm talking about. you know, I was here for it when they were talking to the contestants. When they were talking to themselves and having the little, like, comedy bits, it did feel out of place. So I agree with you on that. The judges, yes, let's discuss that. Go ahead.
But, okay, back to Amy and Nick just for one quick second. Like when you kind of compared it to, you know, Project Runway. But when you had a Tim come in, Project Runway, he actually knew what the hell he was talking about. And he actually
true.
Gave guidance.
True.
Well, Nick,
but
what the hell does Nick know about felting? What the hell, Nick, other than woodworking, what does he know?
But here's the thing. Tim Gunn is considered a mentor on that show. They're not mentors, they're co-hosts. There's a difference. And there's shows where there's co-hosts and there aren't mentors. you know, that happens all the time. You know, we're very used to seeing, here's someone who's going to help them out. I thought that one of the judges would be best suited to be a mentor for that reason. But even on, I will go back to the Great British Bake Off, as everyone should. You have Mary Cherry, probably one of the greatest reality personalities of all time. She's right up there in Kat Dealy in my world. Mary Cherry, she's the best.
As for your world, I don't know who the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, I love Mary Cherry so much. Older woman, like,
she's a horrible person.
Great. I know. It's okay. It's okay. You don't need to. The international reality shows, I completely give you a pass on. That's just me being crazy. But anyway, the Great British Bake Off, the two judges are named, and I'm not even kidding you, Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood. These are their real names. Okay?
I used to work with Mary Berry, and she's probably dead by now. She was 100 years old when I worked with her.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. They're bakers. I mean, but there were judges. They weren't mentors. That's not what they do. So this show is modeled very heavily after the Great British Bake Off, in the rounds, and the fact that there's two co-hosts, and the two co-hosts are comedians on the Great British Bake Off. The two co-hosts are comedians. You know, they don't do the little bits like they do, like Nick and Amy did, but it's very heavily influenced by the Great British Bake Off. I'm not mad at it because I love the Great British Bake Off.
As a DIYer, as a true DIYer, I thought it was a big old puff piece.
Well, I think that I disagree with that. I think that there were competitions and there were ways. I think that a show like this, it's hard to lend itself well.
I would rather skip their bits and have more of the DIYing process.
Oh, sure. I mean, sure. But, you know, I think the format, you know, the hard thing about something like this is, when you're woodworking, when you're crafting, when you're quilting, when you're, you know, doing anything with visual arts, you know, they're giving you a brief window of time, but really you could be working on projects for days, weeks, months, etc. And I think that in itself, it's a hard medium to lend itself to. So a couple years ago, do you remember, Priscilla, that Ellen had a furniture design competition on HGTV?
Yes.
Weirdly, my mom loved that show. My mom loved that
and
show.
Right
with The Voice and Shark Tank. Those are her shows. But anyway, what ended up being so well for that show was that the competition took place over several days. So, you know, they didn't say you have 5 hours to build a chair, go. It was you had 3 days to build a chair. Now, 3 days is still not a lot of time with all things considered, but, you know, they had the help of someone, and they had, you know, at least a substantial more amount of time. So it would be interesting to maybe see this in that kind of format where they have more time to, instead of in the Great British Bake Off way where they're under a tent and they have two competitions and one lasts 2 hours and the other lasts 5 hours, they could do it where you introduce a challenge and you have 3 days to complete it. And that's what you see. I mean, that's the face-off model. Going to face off, you know, that when they're making their creatures, when they have their creatures, they have 2 or 3 days. When Project Runway, they have a couple of days. Most of the time, sometimes they do it in they have a 1 day challenge. But you know, the format might not lend itself well to its medium. But this has, I still think though, this is one of the shows that, if I can have it like this or not have it at all, I choose to have it. if that makes sense. I feel like there's a way to make this better, but I'm happy that the concept is being recognized, and I'm happy
I see they're using their notoriety to try to make the show a hit. But for true DIYers, I think that they don't need to do that. Does that make sense? If you're going to have somebody in there, get some of these woodworkers like that people know. I mean, you'd be amazed at how many DIYers are on YouTube and that are very popular.
Well, sure,
and
but
people
I think
would respect it more.
I think the goal is to broaden the audience, though. I mean, this is on NBC. You know, it's maybe that would be a different story if the show was on cable. But, you know, they need to broaden their audience, and broadening their audience means Amy and Nick being the host of it. So, I'm fine with that if it means that the show gets made. You know, I'm not saying it's a perfect show, but I'll watch it, and in the hopes that they tweak it as it goes along. You know, this
I
is
hope
a show
they tweak
that
it
I can
goes along.
Yeah, and this is a show that I can see looking very different season two than it does season one. And we've seen that time and time again where, you know, we've watched this show and then they make some tweaks season two and we're like, oh yeah, there we go. They figured it out. So I'm not going to give up on it for the simple fact that I see a lot of potential with it. And I see a lot of potential with it.
But they need to make it more interesting for me because, like I said, I fell asleep at least 10 minutes of it.
Yeah,
but
I
need to make it more interesting for me to grab my attention.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it was a good show. I didn't fall asleep. I was interested. I liked watching the process of it. I'm in. And frankly, I'm craving a new show. As much as I love, you know, I'm watching my old standbys, of course. I'm watching So You Think You Can Dance and Big Brother and The Challenge. And, you know, I've got my standbys. But, you know, I want to see some new stuff. I feel like we need to see some new stuff once in a while. So I'm good with it. I'm good with it. Because I don't think speaking of new stuff, we're getting into the ABC On a Deserted Island show, which I forget the name of. I think it's called Deserted. I want to call it Castaway so badly, and I know that that's not right. I'm going to look it up in a second, but that's coming up. Of course I will watch it because that's just who I am. I don't have a lot of faith in it just by the previews, because I don't think it's as competition as I'm going to need. It's essentially a bunch of people get stranded on various deserted islands in the same area. They don't know who else is out there. They don't know how long they're going to be there. They don't know what they're doing. But they essentially just get stranded out there and they have to, you know, they have to stay out there as long as the show goes. But there's no exact time. And, you know, you quit or you go. What I don't know and will be interesting to find out is if you make it through the however many days they've determined, and let's say there's five people left, do all five people win, or do then now that, or is there an ultimate challenge where like Hunted, where you have to get on the plane at the end with the money, you know, and
it
not be caught?
It sounds similar to that money one MTV had.
Yep. Yep.
Were they
stranded with $1 million?
Yeah.
Yeah. They did not renew that. We never got a season two of Stranded with $1 million. You know, I'll just have to say that I wasn't mad at that concept. I was kind of excited about that idea, but they casted it horribly. I think it really let them down. But anyway, yeah, so we'll see what that looks like. That's happening on NBC. It's happening right with the Bachelorette. And I don't know how much competition element we're going to have, because I don't know if we're going to see any sort of strategy. It doesn't look like a social game. It's more of like a straight up Survivor thing. And I don't watch Survivor for the surviving, if that makes sense. I don't really care past day one if they built the best shelter or if they're
eating
right.
You don't care where they're pooping. You don't care what they're eating. You just care about who's going to come.
Yeah. Well, and I care about the strategy, and I care about the voting out, and I care about all of those aspects. But I don't necessarily care about, you know, who is surviving. That part doesn't, you know, I know that they're not going to let anybody die. So, you know, when that element of direct danger is out of way, and you're just kind of watching someone having a miserable experience, it becomes hard to watch. I don't know. I mean, it's not something super enjoyable to watch someone else in pain. Someone else suffering is not necessarily great TV to me. But will I watch it? Of course I will. For you. For you. I do it all for you.
Yeah.
Hey, we only have a couple minutes left in this show. We should probably briefly touch on Big Brother. You know, I don't have a ton to say about it this week is why I put it off to the end. Bailey won HOH. I was super excited about that as a concept. You know, Bailey was making really strong strides on both sides of the house the week prior. She didn't need to win it, so I was a little freaked out. It ended up being the worst thing she could possibly ever do. I mean, her HOH was a complete dumpster fire. I mean, I don't know what the hell it
she
is this
HOH
year.
She had HOH.
Well,
she developed
HOH. But it was also a whole other level beyond HOH-itis, where it was just like a complete, I did so well for 2 weeks. Let me just destroy everything in my path. Every relationship I ever made, any like good thing, good thing that the audience ever gave me, let me just absolutely destroy it. And boy, did she. She really did. She really did. So congratulations to her.
What the hell was Brett throwing? Why did Brett throw Sam under the bus as well?
No. That was not a throwing Sam under the bus. That was like a shout out to Sam. Because Brett's final speech, we'll cut over to that because we only have a couple minutes left. First of all, I will say this. I'm not a major fan of Brett, but I will say that I love his speeches. They mean something. And which I'm
and they
over.
Cause chaos.
They cause chaos. And, you know, I don't want to hear a final. And at the end of the day, I don't want to hear a final speech that starts with, I want to thank my mom and dad. I want to, you know, thanks, you guys are all, I love you all. I don't need that. I don't need that final speech. I don't need a happy birthday, Tommy. You know, I don't need that. You know, I want something real. And Brett delivers for us. So I have to say, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at Brett. I don't necessarily like him as a human being or as a player. But he does know how to cause chaos, and he's very calm under pressure. He, you know, rock stars banging pots and pans a couple weeks ago, talking about his micro penis, and he didn't really retaliate all that much. I mean, he talked a little back to her, but it wasn't like this crazy like blowout or anything like that. I mean, if this was last season, it would have been a train wreck of like horrible racism, and you know, this not, you know, Brett was able to handle himself pretty decently. So in his final speech, he calls out the fact, and I find this very odd, by the way, that Rachel, who ended up leaving the house 5-4, that she still had no clue after Brett's speech, which was about to happen. So Brett stands up and goes, Bailey has a power this week. This is what the power is. So right then, Rachel should know that Angela betrayed her, because Rachel is the one who told Angela, and Angela told everyone. So Rachel should have known right then and there. And then the other thing is, yes, there is an all-girls alliance, and everyone except for Sam, because Sam's the one who told them about the all-girls alliance, was in it. So it wasn't a slamming Sam. It was like a Sam is exempt from this, like this thing, because he's the one who told me about it. Yeah. So, and the man-eaters, and it wasn't a real thing because Angela and Casey aren't in it either. At this point, three men and two women have gone home. My God, it is so, you know, yes, the women are dominating this year. Get the hell out of here. I'm very angry about this. You know, the guys need to stick together now. The girls are taking over. Bullshit. It's three women and two men. It always evens out. You know, relax. I hate that as a storyline. I absolutely hate it. But that's what it is.
Speaking of storyline, they had to get Swaggy C in there. So that means that we're going to get a clip next week with, was it Kaylee? No, I already forgot her name. She's been gone so long.
Caitlin.
Meeting up with her boyfriend. Caitlin, there you go. Meeting up with her boyfriend to see if they're still together or not. Is that going to be our clip next week?
No. Let's talk
about
this.
Because they've got to find a way to have Caitlin come back. I
only have 2 minutes left, so we'll talk about this. Caitlin has done an Instagram Live. That she has said that it is true that her and Joe are broken up. That, you know, that's what it is. She's trying to, you know, make amends with Swaggy. It's not going well. You know, she's handled her post-eviction relatively calmly so far. I'm sure they will find a way.
Because the guys were speaking to her. The birds must have been on her shoulder to help her out.
Right. But I am sure that we will find a way. They will find a way to have her back. The Swaggy meeting Bailey's parents clip was probably one of the most awkward things I've ever seen in my life. It made me so uncomfortable. Can you imagine not only meeting your girlfriend's parents for the first time on TV, but doing it without your girlfriend? I mean, it was so
doing it
forced.
With your girlfriend in the house, saying that she's not had her period in 4 days, and she's passed due. No wonder you don't let Dad watch the feed.
Yep. I mean, it was terrible. It was so friggin' awkward. I couldn't even handle it. I could not watch that segment. They love a Swaggy. They needed him back. Bailey is HOH.
Like I said, they love themselves a Caitlin. They're gonna have him.
Oh
back.
Yeah,
they'll find something.
They'll have him back. Big Brother is extremely aware that they lost two of their biggest personalities pre-jury. They're very aware of this. So I am sure that they will find ways. I can 100% see Caitlin hosting a comp. I can absolutely see that. Absolutely. I mean, they've done that before.
They won't let her back in
they've
the house.
Done that before. They've done it before where people have come back into the house pre-jury to host competitions. It's happened. It doesn't happen often, but it happens. I would hate it because I absolutely disagree with that as a concept, but I can 100% see her coming back in. Can I see her coming back in as a Pandora's box? Absolutely. Can I see her coming back? Oh yeah. I could see it. I can absolutely see a way for them to get back in there. So I absolutely see that going down. Oh God, but that segment was just cringeworthy. Him with the jacket with his face on it to meet your girlfriend's parents. Oh my God. Nope, 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 nope. Terrible. Anyway, we have to go. So next week we will talk. We'll have the finale of The Bachelorette is happening. I think the Bachelor in Paradise clips we need to talk about, because I'm all about that. We got to talk some more Big Brother. We got to talk Challenge. We got to talk so much more. Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week. See ya.
Bye, everyone.